The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now it's time for What to Watch. We're joined in studio by entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo and David O'Callaghan from the Here and Back Again podcast. Yeah, you're very welcome, guys. Serena, let's start with you. Give us your first What to Watch of the week.
I'm going to start with something that I never thought I'd be so excited to talk about. I'm talking about an Elvis Presley concert. Baz Luhrmann still hasn't given up the whole Elvis Presley obsession. He had Elvis a few years ago with Austin Butler. Now we have EPIC. It basically stands for Elvis Presley in Concert. And he has gone and gotten all this footage that some we have seen, a lot we haven't seen, gone through the archives. And you are literally watching Elvis Presley during his Las Vegas era. So some of the stuff is him up on stage. And I assumed when I went in, I'd just be watching one concert up on stage. That's not what you're watching. You're watching a lot of behind the scenes stuff. You're watching a lot of different concerts make up the one performance. It's just, Dave's seen this as well, and it's just so well done.
Yeah, it's a documentary and a concert. Like, it's just, and they found recordings of him talking, so they've kind of put that onto it, and it's kind of looks like it's part of. And it's just fascinating.
But it doesn't sound, you know how sometimes that happens, like, oh, this is really weird hearing someone narrate his own story? But it just, everything is just seamless.
Sorry, Elvis is narrating his own story? Because he was he being followed for a documentary at the time? Or?
I wonder, because
it was
some
interview that they did, and someone found it in a shelf somewhere in the back of someone's room, and they were like, oh, this has never been aired. So they kind of included it into, I'm very low voice. They included it into Baz cut it into the gig, I suppose.
Yeah. This is in cinemas, is it?
It's in cinemas. And look, it's definitely one for the fans. It's in cinemas now.
Oh,
so you can go watch
now.
It now.
Okay.
I was missing my mum. Because my mum, she's still with us. She's just in Australia.
I was going, Jesus, sorry.
No. She's still here with us. But I wish I could go see this with my mum, because it was my mum who loved Elvis. And as a result, I fell in love with Elvis as well. So if you have an Elvis fan in your life, bring them to see this. I spoke to a couple of girlfriends.
I actually do have a few Elvis fans in my life. But even if you don't, there is still something vaguely fascinating about Elvis, isn't there? Like the tragedy of Elvis. Like the beauty, the talent, the mega stardom, and then the kind of the decline, the unwinding, the unraveling, the manipulation of him by people around him, and then the untimely death as a youngish man.
And I have to say, this doesn't do a lot of that. Why I appreciated this is that you do see, though, how magnificent Elvis the performer was. You forget that, like, I went with my husband, he turned around and said to me, I didn't realise he was so involved in the arrangement of the music. Like, you don't get the ins and outs of Elvis, you get a little bit, you see a little bit of his personal stuff, but you are just going to see Elvis the performer up on stage. It only goes for about an hour 40.
And is it all the Velvet, that was the Vegas and the Elvis mixed up. Is it all the Vegas years? Is it all the white jumpsuits and the capes? It's not the young, sexy Elvis in the leather? It's none of that?
There's something sexy about Elvis in those white jumpsuits, though. And I have to say, because it's
he was a beautiful, younger man.
Yes, beautiful man.
The Las Vegas thing has its place as well.
But because it's been told by Baz Luhrmann, anytime you see the Las Vegas Elvis, you think of sad Elvis. But he was sad Elvis at the very end. So the way he's portraying Elvis, it's in the lead up to that. So there's no putting down of Elvis. Like, this is this is definitely done through the.
Do you know, I still remember where I was when I heard Elvis died. I was sitting, I was 8. And I remember the DJ saying it on the radio. It was during the summer, I think it was August. And I remember the DJ saying Elvis has died. And I remember we were all kind of shocked.
Wow.
I didn't know why I was shocked, but I was.
I was way too young. I don't know idea.
She wasn't that young.
anyway, it's in cinemas.
Dave, what about you? What's your first pick?
Mine is Paradise. Season 2 is now on Disney Plus. The first 3 episodes are up. And if you haven't watched this is a post-apocalyptic political thriller. Say that in a fruit pastel in your mouth. And it's absolutely fantastic. It's got it's basically set in a bunker in Colorado, kind of the new US has been said. There's been a doomsday event that's happened on the planet. And Xavier Collins is a Secret Service agent played by the wonderful Sterling K. Brown, who I adore. And he has to solve a political murder that's happened in this bunker. And it's just this slow reveal of what's happened to the outside world, and all these political shenanigans, like the West Wing in a bunker during an apocalypse. So season two, I don't want to say what happened at the end. The first one, if you, because there's people still bailing in now because it is...
Yeah,
you
don't
have to watch this show. It is brilliant. But season two, Shailene Woodley has joined the cast, and the link to Elvis is that the first episode is set in Gracelands because she works there, and you're getting to see what happens kind of in the real world. Very deep impact, if you remember that movie, that kind of vibe. This is fantastic. It's very like Lost, that, you know, flash forward, those kind of sci-fi adjacent shows. If you haven't watched it, it is absolutely brilliant. I know you love it.
And I hate sci-fi.
Yeah,
but this
and
is
not
really
sci-fi,
good.
It's just.
Yeah, can I be honest? Can I be totally honest here? When you said post apocalyptic, you kind of lost me a little
bit. No, but it's that happens outside. It's people in a bunker.
But did he bring you in with political thriller, Shane Coleman?
Basically, the West Wing in a bunker. And there's, but you don't know. And then it's slowly revealing what's happening.
That sounds like Downfall to me.
But it near enough. But it is fantastic. And you've got Sterling K. Brown is unbelievable. I love him so much as an actor. And he just carries this whole show. And it is. It's twisty, turny. It's a thriller. It's got apocalypse involved, but you don't see it.
Because I was thinking, you're thinking Downfall. I was thinking Fallout. I was going, what are we? What kind of bunker?
Sci-fi. This is kind of, I would put this with Lost and things like that.
But not as bad as Lost. Like, better than Lost.
Thank you, because you would lose me.
Is James Marsden?
I'd leave it on other way.
Dave is standing over his choice, and so you should.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm excited, Serena.
Are you really?
Bridgerton.
Really?
Yes.
Have you seen part one?
Yeah, I know it was a bit Cinderella-ish and a bit wishy-wash.
Do you feel that these two leads, and nothing against the actors playing them, I think they're really great, but I don't feel like they have the chemistry of the other two, of the past leads.
Okay, I think the best one was the first one.
Yeah.
Like with the Baron, wasn't he a Baron? Yeah. All that business and Daphne and all that. That was...
Yeah.
Whatever. The others still kept me there. I really like Nicola
Coughlin.
I loved that one too.
Yep.
And I did like all the steaminess and all that, to be perfectly honest. Isn't that why half of us watch it? But it was a bit sanitized and it was a little bit twee or something. But is it not? I'm holding out hope that it's going to get better.
It does get better. I do have to say the last, and I did binge the last four episodes. I said I did it because I had to work. Like, I'm doing it for work, but I think there was a part of I enjoyed it too. I think it does get a little bit steamier in this second part of it.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, not a lot, only a little bit. It does seem to be a bit more Downton Abbey-like this season, where you get to know more about the family. So there's a lot going on with the siblings rather than the main focus. It's always been the main focus is on the two falling in love. This time I feel like there's a lot going on outside, which is lovely, but that's made it a bit more Downton Abbey. So I think it's good.
I do not want Bridgerton to become I quite like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
But Downton Abbey is... Bridgerton is a different thing.
I think you'll enjoy it. I just don't think it's as good as the... And it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not as good as the previous three seasons.
I have to come in here. Is Bridgerton not an absolute pile of CRA?
No.
Don't look at me. I'm just staying out of this one.
No. I just think it's absolute rubbish. And I like a period drama. I do like a period drama.
It's not a period drama. No,
and that's why I like it.
Rubbish.
It's a bit of a skate. Like, why do you like it, Kira?
I liked it, and I was hooked from series one.
Because we were in like lockdown and
but
stuff.
Maybe, but it was also, I loved the stylized thing. Mm. I loved the modern music played by string quartets. I loved the costumes. I loved the spectacle. I liked and I believed in the kind of the dysfunctional, steamy relationship between the main kind of protagonist and that one. And it was beautiful and it was escapism and it was all of those things. It isn't your traditional period drama in any way. It's like a sort of magical thinking, dream-like version of that. It is that. And, you know, I think probably series three was my second favourite and then series two. And I would agree with you that this is a bit more wishy-washy or something. But it has pure escapism in there and all the little bits of whimsy and I quite like the side characters and all that stuff. I do like
I think you've lost the boys. But then
I've definitely lost Shane Coleman. In fact, not only have I lost Shane Coleman, I've lost the respect of Shane Coleman.
I think you'll enjoy this, Kira. I will say, without ruining it for everyone, I did do a little squeal when two of my favourite characters came back. So...
Spoiler alert.
Okay. I'm hooked now to the very end.
It's all available now on Netflix.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit Walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
David, give us your second choice.
It sounds like people are in need of some steamy windows. Well, I'm going to give you proper steamy windows here, because I'm jumping straight to 56 Days, which is on Prime Video. And this is an erotic thriller, Hallelujah, based on the Irish author Catherine Ryan Howard's book from 2021. Now, that was set in Dublin during COVID. This one is now in Boston and there's no COVID. And it's basically a meet cute where two couples meet in a posh supermarket. And then it follows them, their relationship over 56 days, a very intense relationship, shall we say. And suddenly it jumps forward to that 56th day and there's a body in the tub dissolved. And you don't know whether he's killed her or she's killed him. And it is absolutely trashy fantastic.
Is it set in Ireland?
No, it's been moved to Boston. But they do have a Paddy's Day episode, so I don't even go there. How bad is that one?
And the girl's name
is Ciara, but it's Kira, but I don't know what's going on there either. Anyway, doesn't matter.
When I was in America, they call me Ciara all the time, but they don't understand.
They've gone with that. And the two detectives in the modern one who are going back trying to figure it out, I've seen detectives in so many shows, but these two are actually quite brilliant. Everybody's beige and grey.
I'm liking this.
I love the two leads. So you keep jumping back between trying to figure out who's dead and also the steamy windows moments going on all over the place. And it's just fantastic. If you enjoyed The Housemaid, the movie, this is the binge version for you. It is fantastic. I watched it in 2 days.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, 60 times are back. And forget Bridgerton. This is...
I think you have...
So we had 9.5 weeks, now we've got 63 days.
56 only, Shane.
Or only 56,
Oh, that's
sorry.
The sequel, 63 days. The sequel.
Yeah, that's exactly...
Okay, that's on Prime Video.
Prime Video, yeah.
How many...
8 episodes.
8 episodes, okay.
I like series that aren't too long.
Yeah.
Like 45 minutes to the, an episode, boom, you're in.
Yeah. Well, I do like that. Serena, do you have anything else?
Yeah, finally Scrubs is back. We didn't think we needed it to come back. Because season 9, when they went and sort of tried to do something a little bit different, people didn't love it. Season 10 is back, doing like great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Some of the critics haven't loved it. So I went in going, oh, I don't know, what's this going to be like? I watched 4 episodes and went, if you're a fan, they're giving you exactly what you
want.
Is it
the same characters older?
It is the same characters older. The only thing I will say is it's taken me a while to gel. I was only given 4 episodes. I binged those.
Is it pretty much, because Frasier was the other one that came back after a huge absence. I think most people said it just did not work at all.
I think you have to give this a little bit of time. There's still, I hate when they do this. They did this in And Just Like That and it didn't work, where they do that cringe thing of, oh, you know, you're too woke and the younger people are teaching us older people. And sometimes
what's
young people...
What's a podcast?
It's that type of stuff. And sometimes you're just like, do you know what? Younger people and older people can actually live in cohesion and learn a lot from each other. And so that bit, I think they need to work on a little bit. And I do have to get used to the younger cast. But if you want same old, from Scrubs, you're going to get it. It's dropping weekly, 2 episodes available now.
Like the original Scrubs, I haven't seen this. it was really, it reminded me a little bit of like something like Modern Family. I could just watch it.
It was quirky
and,
as well,
and let
wasn't
it wash over me in a really pleasant, kind of comforting way.
And that's actually, do you know what? If you're looking, we're all looking for that type of series where we just want 25 minutes in and out. Maybe go back to the
Brooklyn
very beginning.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is kind of same kind of thing. Slightly quirky, very well written, cleverly written. My 20-year-old is dying for this film, Scream 7.
Oh no, I hope the 20-year-old isn't listening to this review.
not good.
It's okay, so Nev
Campbell's thought back. After 7 it was one of those.
Well, 5 and 6 were amazing, and this one, they've brought back Nev Campbell. She got over the financial dispute.
Okay, well, that's good, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is good.
You can never have too much Nev Campbell.
And first thing first, I'm a huge fan of Scream and the whole horror meta thing and the playing on. But this seems to have forgotten that whole version of the Scream. So the opening scene is amazing. I'm not saying that, but it's what you expect. And then the movie turns from kind of like teens in trouble to a mother-daughter thing. And Ghostface is in it, but it's kind of, you know, Ghostface. And it's a bit dull. I was really sad. Like, there are some amazing deaths and death or kills, I suppose, are really important. And there's one in particular is absolute, hipsters will definitely enjoy it. It's amazing. But throughout the whole, I was like, they seem to have forgotten the whole premise of Scream. And it just feels like the Halloween remakes recently.
Do you mean the way Scream was kind of, it was a horror movie, but it was kind of sending up horror movies as well.
One was about reboot.
It was the meta thing, wasn't it?
Well, they seem to have forgotten the meta thing, and it's just a straightforward slasher thing. You're like going, what has happened to Scream here? And Kevin Williamson, who hasn't directed a movie in 26 years, he's the writer of the Screams, and there's a reason, because it's not very exciting. To say Scream is dull is bad, and that I was like,
now, you were not on the edge, you weren't hiding behind the seat.
The edge of my seat. I was the back of my seat, like just sitting there going, okay, lads. And every now and then there was a great kill, but it's just it's kind of, you know,
is it ridiculously long or what's
it? I think it's about 2 hours.
Okay.
2 hours. And it's funny thing is, it'll make all the money this weekend because everybody wants to see it. But they've lost the edge. The thing with Scream was there was a cool vibe with the reboot. The last two, they'd got, you know, Jenna Ortega in there, Melissa Barrera. But now they're gone because of various reasons. And now they've kind of, instead of getting new
I know people did like those, and you were saying the 5 and 6 was really good, but I didn't love the whole new. I kind of wanted the old characters.
Well, yeah, but the problem is if you have too much old characters, it's Courtney Cox and Nev Campbell running around, and it's, you're like, at one point, at some point you're going to go, oh, this is getting ridiculous, like, lads. I know it's ridiculous anyway, but they should be dead twice now. And seriously, how can you get stabbed somebody? Like,
Might watch it all
Scream,
the same.
No, everybody's going to go watch this again. Longevity-wise, I think it's going to fall off a cliff, and I think when everything's calmed down, people will go, yeah, this isn't great.
It's like Police Academy. Do you remember Police Academy was really
so good?
And then it went to Police Academy 7 and that only ran for an hour and they went, I think we're done with this franchise.
And it did start off, I can't remember, what's the actor in Police Academy?
Steve Guttenberg.
I loved him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm losing more respect from Shane as this goes on. Initially, Shane, he was good.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Up to number 4. Yeah. And maybe that's what they should have done with Scream. Just look done.
Okay.
There's a lot here to be excited about.
Everybody's going to go see it. Doesn't matter what I think.
Okay. David O'Callaghan from the Here and Back podcast, Estherina Bellissimo, entertainment journalist. Thanks to both of you for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.